All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans in chapter number 8. And we're still looking at things to set in order. Things that I think are important for a church to utilize. Remember, Paul told Titus there's some things you need to set in order. And there's things that we need to make sure that we know. And some of them, as we go along, they have been doctrinal things, and some of them will be more doctrinal as we go along. Some of them have been practical things. But today I'm going to talk to you about the condition of the mind. It is very important for us to keep in mind the condition of the natural mind. And hopefully as we go through the message today, you'll understand why that's important for us to understand. Think about this. We who are believers, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, there are times that we are troubled by the attitudes and actions of those who are not born again. It has often crossed my mind as I have been studying in the past few weeks, why would someone reject Jesus? When you think about it, if you follow Jesus, you have heaven to gain. If you reject Jesus, you're going to hell. Why would you reject Jesus? Why would anyone? It doesn't make logical sense. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that one way to get to heaven is by following Jesus, yet some people reject Him. Some people don't want anything to do with Jesus. And that troubles me. It doesn't make logical sense why someone would reject Jesus. Now, we need to keep that in mind. We need to think about why that would take place. Why would someone reject Jesus? Why would someone reject the free offer of grace? Eternal life. Free. Why would someone reject that? And the reason is because of the condition of the natural mind. Okay? The reason is because of the condition of the natural mind. They think with a carnal mind. And that's what we're going to look at today from the book of Romans in chapter number 8. Great promise in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Not going to focus on that much, but think about this. If there is condemnation because of sin in this world, but if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so we find out here today, as we look at this message, is that the natural mind is carnal. The natural mind is carnal. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And then in verse number 6, He says that that is a carnal mind. What is a carnal mind? A carnal mind is one that is characterized by the flesh, by the passions, by the appetites. In other words, the flesh controls the mind. As you look out at something and you desire that and you think that's going to make me feel good or that's going to make me feel good about myself or whatever, that desire for that thing, whatever it is, controls the mind. And then the mind controls the actions. And so the carnal mind is characterized by the flesh, by the passions that are in the flesh, and by the appetites. Now verse number 5 tells us that the natural mind thinks that way. The natural mind thinks after the flesh, the natural mind desires to do things that are fleshly. As we've already said, the decisions are made according to the flesh. The things that make them feel good. the things that seem the easiest, the one that's going to cause the least pain, that which stirs up the fleshly passions. That is what the natural man, and what's the natural mind, that's how it thinks, and that's what rules its decision-making process, is what's going to be easy for me, what's going to make me feel good, whatever is pleasing to me, and whatever is stirs the passions. That's how the natural mind thinks. Now, I want you to think about this. How many of us love being sick? I mean, we love our headache and our stomach feeling queasy, and maybe we love to go to the bathroom and give what is in our stomach, you know, to the bathroom. We just love that, don't we? I mean, we love being sick. No, we hate being sick. I hate being sick. But how many people went out last night and made some decisions? Oh, I'm having me a good time. And it caused them to be sick. Now, that's not logical, right? I'm going to go and pour something down my stomach, and I'm going to keep pouring it down my stomach until it makes me sick. That's not logical, is it? Yet many people made that decision last night. They made the decision to do something because the fleshly mind said you need to do it, and they woke up this morning and they were sick. They had a headache. They couldn't stand loud noises. Some of them, they got to put the sunglasses on, especially today, the sun's shining. They'll be going, oh, my eyes, give me something. Why would they make that decision? Because they're not making a decision based upon what is logical. They're making a decision based upon what the flesh desires. Think about this. Why would someone choose a relationship that they know is not going to be healthy? There's someone that is going to mistreat a young lady. That young man is going to mistreat that young lady. He's going to talk bad about her. He may physically abuse her. And then eventually, you know, he's going to hurt her emotionally. Yet, young ladies still desire those relationships. Why? Why do they desire those relationships? An unhealthy relationship. Why would a saved person desire a relationship with a lost person? When they know it's not going to end up good. The Bible teaches us that's not right. Yet, young people make that decision to chase after a lost person. Oh, I gotta have him. He's so handsome and he's so strong and whatever. Or, he's so rich. I gotta have him. He makes me feel so good about myself, they'll think. And they're making a decision to go make a decision contrary to the Word of God. They choose relationships that they know are not healthy. Why? They're making that decision based upon the flesh. Why would someone think about watching pornography or practice forbidden sexual acts? Why would someone do that? Why would someone, when the Bible strictly forbids it, and you know that it's not healthy, right? An illicit lifestyle is not healthy. When the Bible tells us that you should be the husband of one wife, and that physical relationship should be between the husband and the wife only, and anything outside of that is sin. The reason the Bible tells us this is because it's unhealthy. And you know that as you look out into the world, you understand a relationship that is not monogamous is not healthy. There's all kinds of diseases that are acquired by living contrary to what the Bible says. Right? So why would someone go and be involved in a physical relationship when they know that they could potentially acquire a disease? It's because they're thinking with the flesh, okay, the carnal mind, the desires and the appetites is what is driving the carnal mind. And so it cannot make a decision that would be a good decision because it is so driven by the appetites. I mean, for me, I'm going to take this on a lesser scale, but Why do I have, every time there's a bag of nacho chips in my house, why do I know that when I open that bag, the bag's going to end up empty? I know it's not healthy to eat an entire bag of nacho chips and a whole jar of salsa or a whole jar of cheese or maybe a jar of salsa and a jar of cheese. I know that's not healthy, but why do I make that decision? To begin to consume, because it's been driven by the flesh, right? We make decisions that are unwise, they're unhealthy, they're not profitable for us. Why would we, and this just popped in here, but why would we go so far in debt sometimes? It's not a good profitable decision, because the flesh is what is it determines our thinking process. Instead of doing what, following the good, wise words that are given to us, instead of following the Holy Spirit of God and seeking how God would have us to react in certain situations, we just react with the flesh. Well, think about this. The carnal mind, the natural man, the man that is not saved, that drives all of his decisions. He doesn't understand that he ought to go to the Word of God and seek the wisdom of the Word of God. He doesn't understand that what the Bible is full of is of good advice. The Bible wants you to be healthy. The Bible wants you to have healthy relationships. The Bible wants you to be physically healthy. The Bible wants you to be emotionally healthy. The Bible wants you to be spiritually healthy. And if you'll follow the Bible's wisdom, you'll be those things. But we won't follow the Bible because, well, we want to do what's the easiest, or we want to do what makes us feel the best. And so we make poor decisions. But we got to understand the natural man, the lost man, the person that is not saved, doesn't have the Spirit to follow, doesn't know they ought to follow the Spirit, and they think after the flesh. So we need to understand that the natural man thinks fleshly, and then also we understand they make decisions and they don't think about the consequences. The fleshly mind looks for any way to have its desires met. Any way that appetite is so strong and they want to look for any outlet for that desire to be satisfied. And so they will do some things sometimes that are not wise because that fleshly desire is so great and that appetite is so strong that they just want to satisfy that desire and they'll look for any outlet for that even knowing that it's not healthy for them. That's the carnal mind at work. The consequences that the carnal mind does not think about the consequences. They only think about the immediate gratification. And they try to worry about the consequences later. Well, they don't understand that some of the consequences for sin, you can't think about them later. You can't make an excuse for them later. You can't just go get a shot and take care of some things. Some things will last with you forever. There are consequences to sin that you can't just sweep underneath the rug. But the natural mind doesn't think that way. The natural mind only looks for immediate gratification. And it's very important for us as a church to understand that many of the people that we come in contact with every day, they're being driven, their decisions are being driven by the natural mind, by the carnal mind, and not by the spiritual mind. And we need to understand that. That will help us understand why things happen in the world the way they are is because the natural man is making the decisions based upon the natural appetites and they're making poor decisions. And we need to understand that. We need to teach our children also not to make decisions based upon the flesh, but upon the Word of God. In the book of Proverbs Proverbs chapter number 6. I have the wrong scripture on the PowerPoint. Charles told me I'd forget to change that one when I changed mine. I told him I wouldn't, but I did. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 22 through 29. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. What's those scriptures teaching us? If you sin, there's consequences for those sins. And we could stop there for just a minute and we could think about, maybe you can look in your life and you can think about some decisions that you've made. Decisions that were not according to the wisdom of the Word of God, and you can think about some of the consequences that you are experiencing because of those poor decisions that you made. Let's make sure, and we'll talk about that in just a second, but let's make sure as Christians that we're not, we don't allow ourselves and our decision-making process to be dictated by the flesh, but let's make sure that we are following after the Spirit and following according to the wisdom of the Word of God so that we can make sure that we know that we're going to make good decisions and we're not going to suffer because of the consequences. So now, the carnal mind does not see its fault. The carnal mind does not see its fault. It doesn't recognize that it is carnal. The carnal mind, the reason that it cannot see itself as carnal is because it compares itself with others. Instead of looking into the perfect law of liberty, which is in the Word of God, it looks at other people around and it says, well, look at that person. I'm just as good as that person. Or look at the decision they made. They compare themselves with others, and because they compare themselves with others, they don't see the fault of their carnal mind. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So the Bible says that if you compare yourself against others, you are not wise. For you to look at yourself and say, I'm okay because so-and-so does such and such, that is not wise. You need to compare yourself to what the Word of God says. And the example that God gave us in His Son Jesus Christ. And know and recognize that the standard is not other men, but the standard is the holiness and the perfection of Jesus Christ. And if you cannot attain to that standard of the holiness of Jesus Christ, then you're lost and you're undone and you need a Savior. For the wages of sin is death. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And we understand that all men are sinners. But the carnal mind is at fault because it compares itself with others instead of comparing itself to the perfect standard of Jesus Christ. We also listen to the words that are given to us in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 22 says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So the carnal mind is wise to do evil, but how to do good, they have no knowledge, because they are thinking with the carnal mind, because they are thinking with the fleshly mind. The carnal mind does not understand its carnality. It does not understand that it's at fault. It doesn't understand that it is falling short of the standard that God has established. So that's one of the problems that we face as a church, is that we face the problem that we're talking to people who do not understand their fault. We're trying to tell them about a solution for a need, and they don't understand they have a need. We're trying to tell them about Jesus as a Savior from sin, yet they don't understand they're sinners. Hence lies the problem. We're trying to show them Jesus, and they don't understand they need Jesus. We're trying to show them the pathway from death to life, and they don't understand they're dead. That's the problem. But that's the situation that we have to deal with. Now let's go back to the book of Romans in chapter number 6. And let's think about what the Bible here tells us about the natural man, the carnal man. Now I know those of you who are saved, you don't understand that you have a carnal mind. But the Bible teaches us that you do. So Romans chapter number 8, and going to look at verse number 6. And it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." The outcome of the carnal mind is death. If you have the carnal mind, you are dead in trespasses and sins. The carnal mind cannot think godly. The carnal mind cannot think after God, cannot choose to do the things of God. The only thing the carnal mind can do is choose to do the things that the flesh leads it to do. The carnal mind has no concept, no idea of the things that are pleasing to God. They don't even know and understand they have that need because their mind is dead. They cannot think spiritually. So when these carnal men are making decisions after the flesh and you're looking at them saying, "How can you make that decision? That's not wise. How can you make a decision to go and pour this stuff down your gut that's going to cause you to wake up sick in the morning? How can you do that?" Because their mind is dead, they can't see the result of what they're doing, they can't understand the consequences of the decisions they're making, they're dead. They don't understand, they don't get it. Okay? They can't get it because they don't have the Spirit to lead them. The carnal mind is dead. Also, as you read verse number 7, notice it says, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. They don't understand what that means. You don't understand the word enmity. The word enmity means hostility towards. They don't understand that when they're making their decisions after the flesh, when they are rejecting Jesus, they don't understand that they're being hostile towards God. But that's what the Bible teaches us, and that's what they are. There are some that say, "Well, I know I'm not saved, but I'm not that bad a person." They know they're not saved, but they do not think that their actions are heinous in the eyes of God. Yet the Bible teaches us that if you are not saved, if you are thinking with a carnal mind, your carnal mind is hostile towards God. You are choosing to be the enemy of God. That's the decision that you're making. If you are thinking with a carnal mind, and you will not repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. You're choosing to be the enemy of God. You are hostile towards Him. Why? Why are you being hostile towards Him? Well, Romans 17:25 says, "But God commands all men everywhere to repent." God says you need to repent of your sins. And you say you don't need to repent of your sins. You say, "I'm not a sinner. I don't have sins. I don't need to repent." God says to do it. You're saying, "I'm not going to do it." You're rebelling against God. You're hostile against God. God says repent. You say, "I'm not going to repent." Now, I don't know about you all, but here's the way it was at my house. If I told my child to do something and they said no, it was on. They were going to do what I told them to do no matter what. They were never going to tell me no. And if I ever heard the word no come out of my child's mouth, they had big trouble. And it had a big mark on their trouble was named Mark. And they'll probably admit to you. They better admit to you or we got big trouble again. I don't care if they are married. But if they told me no, they had big trouble. Because I never took the word no from my child, ever. One thing, they did what I told them to do when I told them to do it. They didn't have to like it, but they had to do it. I never took the word no. And what you are doing, because that's rebellion. That's what I don't like rebellion. And I can't handle rebellion. And rebellion is wrong. Rebellion is sin. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible tells us. You're going to allow your child to rebel against you and tell you no? You're allowing them, that sin is comparable to witchcraft, the Bible says. You think it's okay for your child to tell you no? It's as a sin of witchcraft. You better not allow your child to tell you no. You're not taking your place of authority in your life. I don't want to chase this rabbit. But you're not taking your place of authority in the life, the authority that God gave you. And you're allowing someone who's under you to rebel against you. That's wrong. And yet when God says for us to repent, and we say, I don't need to repent, or I'm not going to repent, I don't need this Christianity, you're saying, God, I know what you said, but I don't care. I don't need you. I don't need what you have to say. I don't care about you. You're rebelling against God. That's why you're at enmity. That's why you're hostile towards Him. He said do, you said no. God, I'm your enemy. You told me to do it, I'm not going to. I'm choosing to be your enemy. The carnal mind doesn't understand the decision that they're making. But that's exactly what they are doing. They're refusing to follow God. God said repent. They say no. Let me give you another reason why. Your refusal to follow God makes you a rebel, but also because you call God a liar. You think your refusal to follow God's way is no big deal? What? You're calling God a liar. Look at 1 John chapter number 5. Anytime you choose to do things your own way, you're rebelling against God, and that's serious. First John 5:10 says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. What's the record? The record that God gave of His Son is that eternal life is in My Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man may cometh unto the Father but by Me. God's record is the only way to have life is through Jesus Christ. And when you reject that testimony, you're calling God a liar. It's what God says, not me. When you reject Jesus Christ, when you say, I don't need Jesus, or these people that say out there, there's many pathways to get to God. There's not only just one. Well, they're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting God. They're calling God a liar because God says there's only one way. That's through Jesus Christ. So the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The carnal mind is hostile towards God because it won't listen. It rebels against the commandment of God. And second of all, it's calling God a liar. Now, I don't know about you all, but I don't like to be called a liar. You ever go to someone and point him in the face and say, you're a liar. What would you expect to happen if you went in somebody's face, pointed your finger in their face and said, you're a liar? Do you think they would be your friend? Do you think they would be your buddy? No, you're liable to get attacked, right? If you point them in the face and call them a liar. But that's exactly what you do to God when you reject the testimony of Jesus Christ. You're pointing your finger in the face of God and calling Him a liar. You understand the seriousness of the carnal mind? Hopefully I'm beginning to paint this picture that you understand that the rejection of Jesus Christ is not a simple matter. It's not, oh, well, that's no big deal because they reject Jesus. No, they are becoming the enemy of God because they are hostile towards Him, because they are rebelling against Him, and because they are calling God a liar. And the outcome of that is the Bible teaches us in verse number 8 of Romans in chapter number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why can't they please Him? Because they are hostile towards Him. Because they refuse to listen to His guidance. Because they want to follow their own way and do their own thing. They are hostile towards God. And they cannot please Him. I mean, think about this. if your child was always rebelling against what you told them, if you told them to do something and they always rejected it, and you told them to go right and they went left every time you tried to tell them something, and every time you try to sit down and give them, let me share with you something I've learned. Let me give you some advice. If they always rejected what you had, the wisdom that you had for them, the guidance that you wanted to share for them, if they always were refusing you, and then they always wanted to do things their way, every time you tried to tell them something, you wanted to share them something, and I'm not going to do it that way, I'm going to do it this way, would they be very pleasing to you? I'd say they probably wouldn't be, right? Well, those that are in the flesh, they are not pleasing to God because they're doing all of those things. They are hostile towards Him. They refuse to listen to His guidance. They refuse to follow His way. They want to do things their own way, follow their own plan. They are not pleasing to God. So that's very evident, right? I mean, that's self-explanatory for us. So let's think about this. Think about what that means for us as a church. As we continue our ministry here, we need to understand the battle which we are facing. The battle we're facing is a battle against a carnal mind. A mind that is, their eyes are blinded by Satan. Their ears are closed by Satan. They can't see the truth. They can't hear the truth. We're battling against people who are dead in their trespasses and sins. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that when we're dealing with people, they're going to make poor decisions. They're going to make decisions based on the flesh. They're going to make decisions that aren't wise. They're going to make decisions that are hurtful. They may even hurt us. But we need to understand the mind that we're fighting against and understand the battle that we have is against a carnal mind that is dead, that is hostile towards God. We just need to understand that and keep that in focus. But then we also need to understand that we have the answer to that carnal mind. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. We know the answer to that carnal mind is through the preaching of the gospel message. You see, God didn't just leave us alone and give us no hope. He told us that He said this, but the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. This is 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So we know that as we are facing this carnal mind and the world is full of carnality, we know that we have the answer, and God told us the answer was the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. If we were to preach Jesus Christ and Him lifted up, that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, and then He went to the cross to pay the sin debt for men, that if they will believe in Him, they'll not perish but have everlasting life. If we continue to preach that message, that is the answer to the carnal mind. It's the only answer. The only way that man can live is if they receive Jesus Christ and His payment upon the cross as the penalty, as the answer for their sins. And if they will receive Him as their Savior, they can be redeemed from that carnal mind, and they can be redeemed from the death that they have in their heart, and they can be redeemed and have a new hope and a new heart and a new life. They can be born again if they'll listen to the message. And so we understand that even though we're fighting against a carnal mind, we have the message of the gospel, which is the answer. So we got to understand that. Keep in mind their fleshliness and their carnality and their hostility towards God, and the answer to that is in Jesus Christ. You see, if you go on and read the rest of Romans in chapter number 8, the rest of Romans in chapter 8 gives us a distinction between those who are walking in the Spirit and those who are walking in the flesh. And it teaches us that that distinction should be noticeable. The distinction should be noticeable. Those who are walking in the Spirit will not be walking in the flesh, but they will be submitted to the Spirit. Let's read a few verses here. Verse number 9, Romans 8. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's think about some things here. Those who are in the Spirit will not walk according to the flesh, but they will be submitted to the Spirit. And the reason they will be is because verse number 10 tells us, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. So when you're walking in the Spirit, you begin to understand the life that you have in Christ Jesus. And instead of being dead in trespasses and sins, now you're living in life and you're living in righteousness. Because of that, you should be mortifying the deeds of the flesh. And you should be understand that you're, look in verse number 11, it says, you're at the end of that verse, from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, the Spirit takes that dead sinner, that dead mind, that carnal mind that cannot comprehend the things of God. The Spirit quickens us and makes us alive. And that dead spirit is made alive, so now we understand the flesh. And we understand how the flesh is living contrary to God. And we are able to understand that we should walk in righteousness and we should walk after Christ. We can comprehend those things because that dead spirit has been made alive. That carnal mind that was dead is now made alive and is able to follow after the things of God. You see, we understand this, that our life is, our body is quickened. And because of that, verse 13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We begin to be submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. You begin to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You begin to practice self-denial. You see, again, remember, the carnal mind makes the decisions based upon the flesh. The carnal mind makes the decision based upon what feels good, what pleases the appetites, what's the easiest way to go, and all of those things. But when you're saved and you mortify the deeds of the flesh and you start thinking after the Spirit, you begin to practice self-denial. You won't make those decisions based upon what is the easiest for you. You won't make those decisions based upon what is pleasing to the flesh. You begin to make decisions based upon what is pleasing to God. And you'll make a decision for no other reason than it needs to be pleasing to God. It'll be tough for you. It'll be difficult for you. It won't be the thing that you want to do. But it's the thing that you know is pleasing to God. Herein lies the difference between someone who is thinking after the carnal mind and someone who's thinking after the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind practices self-denial. It won't do the things that are pleasing to the flesh. It will do the things that are pleasing to God. You'll begin to practice self-denial and begin walking in a way that is pleasing to God. You see, that distinction between one that is in the flesh and one that is in the Spirit will be seen because the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. See, Galatians 5, right? You know that. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, goodness, kindness, temperance, faith. You see, all of those things, those fruit will be evident in the life of a believer. You'll begin to make decisions based upon love. You'll begin to make decisions based upon joy. You'll begin to make decisions based upon peace. Not because you know, everybody says, well, I have the right to be mad about that. Well, you may have the right fleshly, but spiritually, live as much as within you is, live peaceably with all men. Do things that make for peace, see? Not things that's going to cause division. You may have the right to be mad, but you're going to make a decision based upon what's going to bring peace. You're going to make a decision to be long-suffering. You're going to make a decision to be gentle with others and good and practice faith and meekness. You see, all of those things begin to be evident that a distinction is made between one who's thinking with the carnal mind and one who's thinking of the spiritual mind, because those fruit are present in the life of one who is thinking with the spiritual mind. So, as we think about these things, we want to understand there is a distinction between the fleshly mind and the spiritual mind. Those that walk in the Spirit have spiritual fruit. They will crucify the affections and the lust. They will mortify the deeds of the body. They will not be desirous of vainglory. They will not provoke. They will not envy. And they will seek to please God and not self. So let's think about this. We understand that there's only two kinds of minds in the world. There's the carnal mind that is dead, that makes decisions based upon the flesh. And there's the spiritual mind that is alive and that makes decisions based upon what is pleasing to the Father. Which mind do you have today? Do you have the carnal mind that is hostile towards God? Or do you have the spiritual mind that seeks to please Him? Hopefully you begin to understand that which mind you have. Which mind is dominating in your life? The fleshly mind or the spiritual mind? The carnal mind or the spiritual mind? How do you make your decisions every day? What kind of mind do you have? Now remember, we as a church, we want to understand that the battle we're fighting is against the carnal mind. And we can only battle against that by preaching the cross. Because that's the answer. But each one of us still need to ask ourselves, which mind dominates in our life? The fleshly mind or the spiritual mind? I pray that as a believer and a follower of Jesus, you're learning to walk after the Spirit. And you're learning to allow the spiritual mind to make your decisions. And you're putting off the old man and mortifying the deeds of flesh and putting off the carnal mind. And you're not making decisions based upon the flesh, but you're making decisions based upon the Spirit. And hopefully that distinction is evident to those you are around every day. You know, it is very easy to tell. You go to someone and you just look at their personality and the way that they react in life, and it's very easy to tell what is dominating in their life, the flesh or the Spirit. What's dominating in yours? We as a church, we need to make sure that we are dominated by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truths that are contained in Your Word. And You pray that You'll help us as a church to think about the battle that we're facing. And God, we will understand the lost minds that are in the world. We'll continue to preach the cross as the only answer, depending upon Your Spirit to draw the lost and the youth. But God, if there's some of Your people here today that are their lives are being dominated by the flesh because they're thinking with the flesh instead of the Spirit, I pray that You'll convict them of that, Lord, and show them how they're making those decisions, and teach them and encourage them to follow Your Spirit so they can live a life that is pleasing to You. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for Your truth. We pray Your Holy Spirit will deal with hearts today. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.